for that we do thank you and bless you. It's one thing that even the Psalms of David, every psalm and the book of Psalms is a song. And they sang that. They did. And it invoked the spirit of Almighty Yahweh in the midst of the house. It was pure and clean. And that's what Yahweh is looking for. Truly. To worship him in spirit. He seeketh such. Truly. But I will go to more instrumental type music for our little station. I like that. I do. Satan, he knows what he's doing. He's established the power of this world order in the hearts of men today. The spirit of iniquity. That's what they despise. And they hate the things that are true and pure today. The heart of man today is corrupt. Above all things, there's nothing like it. It's a spirit of apostasy. Do you understand what apostasy is? I know we all think we do. We all worship we do. But you understand what apostasy is? You know what one is apostate, what they've actually done? They've actually denied the faith of salvation, of deliverance. They've denounced that. And their loyalty, who they declare that to, they don't declare it anymore. And that's why you don't have loyalty today. I will show you the very side of the spirit of apostate, how it is developed in the heart of many today, all right? I want to deal with salvation. But I will show you how that spirit moves one away from Almighty Yahweh, and whereby they are destroyed. And it is real. And it is alive. And it is visible today. Amen. The heart of man is very deceitful. Very deceitful. I was thinking today, one of the first things yesterday, I recall, one of the first things that we did when I went into the military, as you find this soul today with doctrines and beliefs today, everyone has a belief. Everyone has a different doctrine. How can that be? And they all say they have Yahweh's anointing. Is he divided? It's not so. It's not so. And so what they did, the drill sergeant, I'll never forget. He said, what are we going to do? There's a certain thing that we must do at a certain hour of the day. What I am going to do, I'm going to tell Jeff, this is what we're going to do. You pass that command down the ranks. Took about 30 minutes to do that. And when that command got back to that drill sergeant, it was so far removed from what he said. It had no balance and no resemblance at all. And that is what this mindset has done to Yahweh's truth. And so you have such diversity today that there's no oneness at all. Nowhere. What are we saved from? Who saved us? And from what? You know, the old saints would say that was what they call a fivefold salvation. Not only were you saved from sin, saved from immorality in yourself, and saved from death and hell. And our folks today say they're saved. And yet they continue in the very same things. The sins, the corruption, the lies, the mischievous ways. And there is no repentance. There's no fear there. How they truly say. I will show you what the scripture says. I don't know. I don't think we know this great king. It's one thing that Paul said unto Timothy. It's there in 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 15. You all know that one. He said to Timothy, first of all, study to show thyself approved unto Yahweh as a workman. Needeth not to be ashamed, righteously dividing the word of truth. Now what was Timothy studying? Now if Timothy was studying to show himself approved of, what did Timothy study? What book? Was it Peter or John? Or was it the prophets and Moses and Psalms? He did command him to study. That is the prerequisite of showing yourself approved, that Yahweh is dealing with the man's heart. Now, how much energy and time do we literally spend in that? He said to him, study to show thyself approved of unto the Father. He had to have something to study. What did he study? In order for you to study literature or German history, you must have some form of writ. You must. That express the historical events of the history of Germany or America. You must have that. And somewhere, Timothy, as he was left there with the saints of Ephesus, he had something to study to show himself approved. And the right thing or the righteous thing is to know how to divide or to discern this righteous word of truth. And that's what he said to him in 2 Timothy 2:15. He told him to study. And then if you look down, I want to begin reading here. In 2 Timothy chapter 3. I read this on the Shabbat, but I want to read it again. Paul says in 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 14. He says to Timothy, but continue thou. 2 Timothy 3:14. He says, but continue thou in the things which thou hast learned and hast been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them. What a profound statement. He said, there have been truths uttered unto you, Timothy, that were profound. And they have entered into your heart, Timothy, because you know whom have delivered those things unto you. Men today don't know those that labor among them. They know their sin and their corruption. They know their vile ways, but yet they will not repent. Yet Paul says unto this young saint of Yahweh, he told him to continue in those things that he had learned, that he had received from him, and knowing of whom thou hast learned them of. You know who you have learned them of? You know my stance, my position. You know what manner of man I am. You know my purity, my desire for doctrine and truth. He says, so you should know the man that I am, and the things that I have taught you, you continue in those things. Not this vile generation. Not this corrupt generation, because it's filled with apostasy. This is a corrupt generation. It's vile. And it's on its way to hell, saints. They're going to be lost because they don't know the Master. They say they do. Yet they don't know him. Paul said, continue those things. And look what he says in verse 15. I want this to be the foundation of what I want to speak on tonight. He said, and that from a child thou hast known the Holy Scriptures. He has known what? The Holy Scriptures. Which now this is what they are. Which are able to make thee wise unto your sure salvation through faith in which is in Messiah Yeshua. He said, thou hast known the Holy Scriptures. From a child is what he said. And it is the scriptures that are able to make us wise unto salvation. That's simple reading. That's not hard to read that. Now what scriptures did Timothy have to make him wise unto salvation? He said, you have known them from a child. And your birth in this truth, you have known the law. You have known the prophets and David. He said, now that is able to make you wise unto the knowledge of salvation. And this is not a wise generation when it comes to salvation. Why do you think you have so many forms of what they call salvation? You got the Baptist says this way, the Methodist is the Pentecostal, the Apostolic, the Yahweh is that. Which way is that? There's only one way. There's only one way. There's only one Elohim, one faith, and one baptism. There's one holy king, and one father of all, in heaven, whether you in the earth in heaven, he's one. He said, I want you to understand, Timothy, that this, the scriptures are able to make thee wise unto salvation. Now, scripture. He didn't have the New Testament there. You can argue with that all you want to. He did not have the New Testament rest. This was a letter that Paul wrote unto Timothy as he was there in the assembly of the saints in Ephesus where Paul had left him. And he said, it's the power of the scriptures that are able to make thee wise unto salvation. Isn't that something? Because that is one thing that Satan has kept us out of. The scriptures. No time for the scriptures. Time for Walmart, Kmart, but no time for scriptures. Time for running and dancing, no time for scriptures. Time for your fleshly aspirations, but no time for scripture. He said, it is the scripture, Timothy, that is able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith now. And you're sure of the Messiah. Only in scripture whereby we're going to be wise unto salvation. And only Yahweh can say, well, what did Timothy have? Well, I want to begin reading some then. The scripture says in Exodus chapter 14, you can't denounce the Old Testament. You are a fool if you deny that. Nor can you deny the old, the new, because it's one. All the scriptures are given by the inspiration of Yahweh. Everything that Paul wrote was given by Yahweh's inspiration. What Jude wrote, it was given by the inspiration of the Father. Now let us search the scriptures as Paul said to Timothy, we know that from a child thou hast known the scriptures. Well, what scriptures did he know? Well, we'll find out. Now the scripture says in Exodus chapter 14, verse 10 through 13. I want to begin reading through 14. It says that when Pharaoh drew nigh, the children of Israel lifted up their eyes, and behold, the Egyptians marched after them, and they were so afraid. And the children of Israel, they cried out unto Yahweh. Now that's what scripture says. They did not cry out unto just any gods. They did not cry out to Dagon. They cried out unto Yahweh. They began to cry because they saw this formidable foe against them. And that's what we ought to be doing in this hour as we see the opposition against our souls to draw us into perdition. Like he did Judas. He drew him into perdition. That is what Satan is doing today. Men, they're given over unto the application of their own minds. And that's why you have such diversity today. You don't have that oneness of mind, oneness of spirit, and the same heart. And men desire those things that are pure and heavenly, the things that your way has ordained. And today they have their own aspiration. That's why we must contend for the faith that was once delivered unto the saints. They have the same aspiration, and that was to see the glory of the Heavenly One. That's why men, they wandered. That's why they were sawed in sunder. That's why they gave up their lives, because they looked forward to a better resurrection. They knew that there was something greater than what the earth had to offer. Well, not this generation. We think that everything is in the natural today, and so there's not very much spiritual enlightenment. It meant that this is an ignorant generation. It is a generation that is void of the knowledge of the truth of your way. And that's just the truth, whether they accept that or not. It is the truth. And so they began to cry unto your way. And they said unto Moses, because there were no graves in Egypt, hast thou taken us away to die in the wilderness? You see the spirit of fear? What it did to their hearts? Wherefore, hast thou dealt thus with us to carry us forth out of our sins? To carry us out of Egypt? This cold drum of sin? And that's what Egypt represents. It is a flesh manifestation of what thing manifests most in our lives today. Is it a spiritual or is it a natural thing? And so Moses, they began to decry him. No graves left in Egypt. You brought us out here to be taken under by this force of darkness. They said, is not this the word that we did tell thee in Egypt, saying, let us alone, that we may serve the Egyptians. For it had been better for us to serve the Egyptians that we should die in the wilderness. It's better for us to serve sin. Do our own thing. I'm going to die, so why not just do my own thing? That's the analogy of that. I'm going to die one day, so I'm just going to live, eat, drink, and I'm going to be merry. I'm going to do my thing. For the best thing, as we said to you, Moses, leave us alone. It would have been better off serving the Egyptians, living in sin, in the cauldron of sin, doing those things that are natural and fleshly. And Moses said unto the people, he said, fear ye not. Stand still and see the Yahshua of Yahweh, which he will show to you this day. For the Egyptians whom ye have seen today, ye shall see them again no more. He says, for Yahweh shall fight for you, and he shall hold your peace. He will fight for us. Ye shall hold your peace. He said to them, stand still. As David said, salvation belongeth only unto Yahweh. Only he can deliver and save a man. In that body of Messiah is hope, because he was a natural man. He died, he was resurrected by the power of the Spirit. And so in that body, there's what the hope is, in that name, and the power of the strength that was represented in that body. And so we need to understand that he is the one that saves. He saved them from the cauldron of sin, from the power of darkness. He brought them out and even allowed darkness to challenge them. And he said, I want you to stand still and see salvation. See your Savior. See me deliver you from under the yoke of the bondage of the Egyptians. That you don't have to fear them anymore at all. That you don't have to wonder what things are going to take place. I believe Timothy knew those scriptures. He saw the profound salvation of Yahweh. As he delivered a house out of bondage, out of sin, out of darkness. As he sent forth the prophet Moses to bring them out of darkness. And they did to Moses as this generation does to men of Yahweh today. Remember, they complain because there's a spirit of apostasy, and that's just the truth. They are apostatized. They are apostate. They have gone back and they have turned their hearts away from His truth. For salvation, David says, salvation belongeth unto Yahweh. Thy blessing is upon thy people. His blessing. Only Yahweh can save. And I will show you with a preponderance of evidence in Scripture that only He can save. Only He can. And in that hope of Messiah, because who brought Him from the grave? The Father did. He resurrected Him from the grave. And that's why, listen to me, that's why He came in the Father's name. He could not come in any other name, because there's only salvation in one name. No other name. In that name. Hallelujah. Now, I know what our traditions have taught us, but it's still the truth. Now, I want to go back to Jude. Turn to Jude with me, please. I want to read a few verses here quickly. And Jude was dealing with his letters to the saints scattered abroad. And you can see what he was dealing with here in the book of Jude. The apostate. Those that had turned back in their hearts. Well, that spirit was prevalent in the house. It says in Jude chapter 1, verse 1. Just Jude 1. Jude, the servant of Yahshua and the brother of James, to them that are sanctified by Yahweh. And that's who sanctify us. He said, them that are sanctified by. He identified who sanctified us. He said, the Father. And preserved in. Now we are preserved. We are kept in. Because that is our hope. Yahshua, Messiah, and called. He said, mercy unto you and peace. And love be multiplied. Now look at what he says in verse 3. Listen, says he, beloved, when I gave all diligence to write unto you of a common salvation, it was needful for me to write unto you and exhort you that ye should earnestly now Strive with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. Earnestly contend for the faith which was once delivered unto the saints. He said, I want to warn you, for there are certain men crept in unawares, who were before of old ordained to be to this condemnation. The unholy, unrighteous, ungodly men turning the grace of our Yahweh into lasciviousness. And they're denying the only Messiah, Yeshua, the only Yahweh, and our Savior, Yeshua. See, they deny the Father, and they deny the Son, is what he said. He said, I will therefore put you in remembrance, therefore, though ye once knew this, how that Yahweh, having saved the people out of the land of Egypt, that's who saved them, he said, afterward destroyed them that believe not. He saved them all. And there were those that believe not. They didn't trust him. They didn't believe that he did that. And he destroyed every last one of them. And in this hour, that is what apostate is. They don't believe him today. That's why men are seeking their own. And they're striving for their own mastery. They're men that have crept in unaware. Because the men of Yahweh have not dealt with the sins in the fashion that he ought to have dealt with them. They have dealt with them as I am guilty of that one, in the sense of knowing and trying to appease. Yahshua did not even please himself, but he pleased the Father. He didn't try to please himself, but he pleased the one that sent him. And so these men, unawarely, they have crept in. They were men ordained of condemnation. That's what they were ordained for, condemnation. Verse 6, and the angels, which kept not their first estate, but left their own habitation, he hath reserved into everlasting chains under darkness, unto the judgment and the great day. Even as Sodom and Gomorrah, the cities about them, in like manner, giving themselves over to fornication, and going after strange flesh, he said, are set forth as an example, suffering the vengeance of eternal fire. Now, this is the spirit of apostasy. This is what he does now. Look what he says in verse 8. He said, likewise, also these filthy, vile dreamers defile the flesh. They despise, first of all, dominion, government. They despise the government of Yahweh. No one is going to tell me. No one is going to command me. I'm sick of that. You're not going to instruct me. I'm tired of what you're saying. I don't want you revealing my sins. And they despise that now. They despise dominion. They despise the law of Yahweh. They despise and governing their lives. That is the sign of apostate. They despise it. They hate it. They don't want him in their affairs. As he brought them out of Egypt, they began to cry to Moses, look at what you've done. No graves left there. You brought us here to die. And he said, just stand back and see Yahshua, this salvation of Yahweh. He said, likewise also these filthy dreamers defile the flesh. They despise dominion and speak evil of dignities. What dignities? But that's what the scripture says. When men began to go that way, they began to speak evil of those at Yahweh before Yahshua ascended, he descended. And he gave gifts. It has nothing to do with tradition. He gave gifts unto men. And they speak evil. This generation speak evil of dignities. Men that possess the law of Yahweh in their hearts, that strive to please him, and have set forth an example and a pattern as Paul did for Timothy, knowing who he had learned those things of. Seeing the life of Paul. Paul was not a whoremonger, a thief, a liar. He was not an extortioner. He didn't do those things. Or before he met Yahweh on that road of Damascus, he was furious when he came to those things concerning the law. And when Yahshua came into his heart, it transformed him into the man of faith, the man to walk according to the will of the Father. And he said, Timothy, you've seen my life. You know how I live. You know what things I've taught. You know what things I've said. I've said things in the past, and yet Yahweh has brought the correction even in my life that they may be spoken by the Spirit. Not by tradition, but by the Spirit. And he said, know what you've learned these things of. Understand how you've come to this revelation and knowledge of even those scriptures that you have learned from a child. That the life and the light of them have been brought to your revelation and your understanding that you may know. And they're able to make you wise. That you may understand this plan of the Father. I don't believe that we as a whole understand what the Father is truly doing. I don't think that any father that loves his children would leave them on the blind side. He has made the thing visible for us to know. And there'll be no doubting. There are no schisms in the body. And that's all that it is today. Doubting and schism. He said, this is what these apostates do. They first of all, they began because they're filthy dreamers. They defile the flesh. They begin to dream what they want to do. They want this, I want this, I want that. That's what a filthy dreamer does. You don't believe me? Begin to dream and think about what things you'd like to have. And look at how they just mount up. How they just mount up. You want this, you want that. Then all of a sudden this, and that, and that, and this. He said they're filthy dreamers. And they defy the law of Yahweh, the governing of Yahweh. They despise dominion. They don't want his rule in their lives today. They don't want that. And then they began to speak evil of dignities. That is what they began to do. Now I've seen that here in this place. Sure have. I watched that apostate spirit. I watched the apostatizing. And they going back to the flesh, to Egypt, for the love of flesh and the love of their own corrupt desire. That's what they've done. They've gone back to flesh and the desire of flesh. That's what they're going to do. That's the truth. Ain't no doubt about that. He said he destroyed every last one of them that did not believe in the wilderness. He brought them out. He saved them. Did he not say, stand still and see the salvation of Yahweh? That's what he told them. And he saved them. They went over dry short. Not one of them were lost in that water. And then when they got over, they began to speak evil of dignities. And they began to despise Yahweh's dominion. They began to apostatize. They began to build their own gods and raise their own spirit of worship. That's what men do today. They're so corrupt and vile. They're so insidious in their ways. They worship everything but him. Flesh, ball games, basketball, football, television, the bellies. They worship all those things. And yet they never. Isn't that amazing? Because if I just sit there and his team played football, and he'll pour for them through that imaginary thing. And yet when it comes to the praises of Yahweh, there's no exaltation of his name. There's no praises of his name. There's no honoring of his name. Don't you know that's a fool? Don't you know that's a man who's on his way to hell? They don't know the Father. And men will do that. Oh, wait till this football season starts. This weekend. Wait till the games begin to come on television. And watch them next week when the pro football season starts. I'm telling the truth. Whether you buy it or not, it's still the truth. Amen. He said, they're filthy dreamers, defile the flesh, they despise dominion, and they speak evil of dignities. They speak evil of those things, of those ones that Yahweh has established and placed in the midst of them. They speak evil of them. And folks are doing that today. He said, yet Michael the archangel, when he contended with the devil, he disputed about the body of Moses, does not bring against him a railing accusation, but should Yahweh rebuke thee. But these speak evil of things which they know not. If you don't know a thing, it's best to be quiet. And they speak evil of it. He said, but what they know naturally as true peace, and those things they corrupt themselves. Now that's how they corrupt themselves. Because what things they know as a natural brute beast, the natural way of a man, those are the things that literally corrupt them. Their desires, their own bellies, their own senses, their own sensations, those are the things that literally corrupt them. But what things corrupt them is the other things that they know as natural brute beasts because of that spirit. Yahweh brought them out of Egypt. He brought every last one of them out. He delivered them from the very fiery indignation of Pharaoh. And he established them in the land. And yet when they got there, they began to turn their hearts away from him. They didn't believe him. And don't tell me this generation hasn't done that. We in this house, we don't believe him. We don't think what he says he's going to do, he's going to do it. And so they began to speak evil of what he's done or what he has said. I don't believe that. I don't think it's that way. He brought them out in that place the way he intended to bring them out. He brought them for them to be challenged by the powers of hell, to be opposed by their flesh. He brought you that your flesh will challenge you and to show you the corruption of your own flesh. And that's what he did right there. He showed them how corrupt and vile they were. He showed them how evil and how corrupt and how beastly they were. He allowed them to see that. And then he showed them a mighty power of salvation. He showed them a mighty deliverance. And he brought them out of the captivity of Egypt. He brought them out. They were fearful. They had nowhere to turn. And the soldiers were mocking upon them. So it is in this hour that these foul spirits of darkness have encroached even in your mind and take precedent and thought in your thinking capacity. Tell you what to think, how to feel, how to move, how to act. That's why we need the mind of Yahshua. Nor the mind. For that mind will not please itself. It will simply please the Father. And this is a generation about pleasing themselves. About pleasing themselves. Now that's not the will of the Father. He never ordained that for us to do that. Amen. Never at all. So as he brought them out of Egypt, that same house, he destroyed them in the wilderness that believed not. And don't tell me he will not do the same today. But a man turned his back. That's why he said in Ezekiel, you warned the righteous and you warned the wicked. He gave him the same prophetic words for the righteous and for the wicked man. If a righteous man turn back, then his righteousness will not be remembered. And Yahweh lay a stumbling block before him. And that's what he's going to do to men today. He laid the stumbling blocks that they can't get back to. He laid all kinds of things in front of them that they can't get back. They stumble over those things trying to get back. And they can't get back. That's what Paul said to me. Know who you have learned these things of. That's why you need to know them that labor among you. This wicked generation or no one. They simply know each other out of the flesh. I'm going to direct you to him. Not to me, but to him. This wicked generation, foul and is corrupt. Now I want you to get your eyes, turn your eyes upon Yahshua. That's what I tell you. Turn your eyes upon Yahweh. He was not born an American. He was not born a Greek. He was born a Hebrew. He doesn't have an American name nor a Greek name. He has a Hebrew name. Period. You can argue and fight against it all you want to. And it's not Jesus Christ either. It's Yahshua. He came in his Father's name. Your way. He was not born in Washington, D.C. He was not born in California. He was born in Bethlehem of Judea. He was born in a house that were Hebrews. And he came in the Father's name. His name is everlasting. You are. And you will go to hell in a bandwagon. Do you think I will capitulate from that? And the last one of you. Glory. His name is to be praised. From the rising of the sun and the going out of the same. Now, what have we got to read some of the scriptures that Paul, as he exalted Timothy that he had known from a child. Look at what Paul says in 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 4. Now, if you think this salvation thing, look at this now. I want to ask you something, saint. He says this in 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 4. And did all drink the house of Egypt, Israel. Yeah, Israel. And when they came to, and they all did drink of the same what? Spiritual drink. For they drank of that spiritual rock. That's what it says, right? That's a capital R too, isn't it? I want to show you something in the New Testament, Old Testament, all right? And they all drank of the same spiritual rock that followed them, and that rock was Messiah. And that rock was Messiah. Now that's what Scripture says. That's New Testament. He was there. And yet they drank of him. And yet he killed about the thousands in the wilderness for their disobedience. So we have got this salvation thing because of our tradition and what things we have learned by the way of mom and granddaddy. And yet you were saying you were saved, and yet you were still in sin. Come on, your sister wearing pants, she watching television, all that was sinning against Yahweh. Well, why did it destroy and go to you with the hell? Why? Because you didn't have the knowledge of that. And so he brought you to men that would teach and show you and give you knowledge of those things that you can denounce them and you will not walk in the spirit of those things. That's what he did. You still going to the whole houses. You still doing your thing, and yet you said you were saved. Sure you were. You don't have a kind of sin, but it was just that you said, I just don't sin like I was dead. You're doing the same thing wearing your earrings, pagan there, pants. You brothers too. Lying. Hanging around the wicked. Yeah, that's what we did. And as Yahweh began to bring us into the knowledge of the truth, those things we began to cast them aside. That ain't right. Can't do that no more. Can't dress like that. Come on, sister. Yeah, you were short. I know I got saved. I was still wearing them. Huh? You sisters too. But you when you came here, I told you can't wear that. You can't dress like that. You gotta come out of that. Can't do that. Can't go there. And that's the truth. Now Paul talks about the spiritual rock that they all drink from. That did follow them. And they drink from that same spiritual rock. So you think that that's just simply just a new phenomenon, this rock? Well, let's go to 2 Samuel chapter 23. 2 Samuel 23, Yahweh says, salvation belongs unto him. And that hope for us is Messiah. He is the hope that Yahweh has given us a hope in Yahshua. Yahshua. And that is Yah saves. Yahweh saves. He's not going to take that glory from him. He saves. The scripture says in 2 Samuel 23, verse 2. The Spirit of Yahweh spake by me, and His word was in my tongue. This is what He says now in verse 3 of 23 Second Samuel. The Elohim of Israel said, the rock, that's capitalized too. The rock of Israel spake to me, he that ruleth over men must be just ruling in the fear of Elohim. That is what Messiah said. Now the rule over man, this rock now, the same spiritual rock that Egypt drank for, Israel drank from, when they came out of Egypt, he has not changed. Yahweh is the same today, yesterday, and forevermore. He has not changed. David said, I call upon Yahweh. That's what he said. He said, who's worthy of praise? And he saved me from all of my enemies. That's what he said. Nowhere in scripture, you search the scripture, saints, you will find salvation and saved in Psalms, Ezekiel, and Jeremiah, and those three books, more than the whole New Testament. Salvation and saved. Look it up. You have a concordance. You don't have one, you ought to buy one. $5, $6, $8 for one. You will find that more times in Ezekiel, Jeremiah, and Psalms. More times in those three books alone than the whole entire New Testament is there. And that's all the Old Testament talked about, saved in Psalm. The book of Psalm, that's all it talked about, being saved. And saved from. And saved to. That's all it talked about. That's why he said to Timothy, you have known the Holy Scriptures. And they are able to make you wise unto salvation. Through faith in Messiah. Because he was that rock there, even in that weary land that they drank from. And yet they drank from that spiritual rock and they ate that spiritual meat. And they went right out and sinned and he destroyed them. And men today are doing the same thing. We don't know we don't see what the New Testament say doing. A man that put his hand to the plow and turning his back. He's not fit for the kingdom. That man is not going into the kingdom. He is not going into Yahweh's kingdom. And we don't think men are doing that today, but they are doing that. They turn it back. Turn it back to flesh. Sin. The way of flesh. And they love the things of the flesh. They love those things. They love fleshly things. Spiritual things, they detest them. Why? Because it's one thing that spiritual things do. They govern a man's life. They control a man's life. The flesh, you can do anything you want to. You can go to every extreme you want to. That's what the flesh allows you. But not the spiritual law of Yahweh. It governs a man's life. It puts restraints on a man. It saves a man from corruption and sin and death, hell and the grave. That's what it does. And when men began to despise the dominion, and they began to speak evil of Yahweh, his dignities, it's because they have apostatized. They apostate. That's just the truth. They've given themselves over unto an unbelieving spirit. So they have no fear of Yahweh. They have no confidence in him at all. So they began to do what they want to do. How sure is our salvation today? And if our salvation was sure, then why are we doing the things we're doing? Yet to all the saints of Yahweh be saved to sin no more, huh? That's what he saved us from, sin and the penalty of sin. He saved us from sin. Did he save us to sin? He didn't save us. Did Messiah sin? He did not sin. This is a generation that's not willing to suffer anything. That's why they have no obedience. They want this so corrupt flesh. You let it begin to hurt a little bit and see what they do. They're going to try to find some remedy. They're going to go through the soothsayers, every kind of vile thing there is. No faith. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. See, they don't even know truth because it's appointed unto every man once to die. And then the judgment. They don't believe the truth. Amen. I don't care. You may get upset with me, brother. That's all right. When I think about that, how wicked these folks are, you see the shit in them and the corruption, how corrupt they are. They speak evil of dignities, and they lie, and they speak evil of things that they ought not to even speak evil of. They ought to just leave it alone, even with the name thing. When I began to talk, if you didn't understand that, you should just leave it alone. Say, Father, help me. I need help. He'll help you. You resisted that. Come on, you hypocrites. That you sisters, when I told you about past, a lot of you all resisted it. You say, well, I don't know about that now. You didn't want to do that. I certain things you didn't want to do. You had to give up this. You arrange this and that. Amen. It's just the truth. That's the truth. Amen. You should say that all the time. If being saved, I have to give up this. And I don't know if I want to be saved then. Yeah, because you have to give, you no more your own. When a man is truly delivered, he's no more his own. He's been bought with a price. When he realized that there's a price that has been paid for us by the blood of Messiah. And you don't take that lightly. That's not a light thing. You don't take that lightly. I don't think you're just going to you crucify him afresh and you're going to just serenade into the kingdom. It's not so. What wicked men today. What wickedness in the heart of man. Just like Israel. Amen. He delivered them and saved them and they went right on sin. And they drank of that spiritual rock. And they went and built their own gods. And they ate and they rose up to play. And they wanted to kill his servant now. Sure they did. Amen. And that's the truth. David says in Psalms 95, verse 1. I'm going to read this. Psalms 95, verse 1. And Psalms 18, 2. I'm not going to wait till you turn there. I'm just going to read them. Let me read Psalms 18, 2. Turn there. I want you to see that. So we got all these gods, is how much use that expression. There's only one Elohim. And look what the scripture says in Psalms 18 and 2. It says, Psalms 18 and 2, it says, Yahweh is my what? It's no different. He said, Yahweh is my rock and my fortress and my deliverer. My El, my strength in whom I will trust, my buckler and the horn of my salvation and my high tower. Who does he change? He said he's first of all his rock. He is his rock. That's what he is. And this rock of Gibraltar has been the rock from the beginning. Nothing new. Same. He said, Yahweh is my rock. I know what it says in your rendition, but that's what it says. Yahweh is my rock. He's my rock and my fortress and my deliverer. And I began to look, if I show you what the word even saves your way came from, I see things, I'm learning things, and my Father, help us. How do men allow these things to get put in this book here, really? Really, brother? If I show you. Yeah, I do research things. I'm sorry. I don't care what you think or how you feel. It's just the truth. Amen. It is the truth that makes us free from everything. Amen. He said, he is my rock, he is my fortress. He is my deliverer. He is my strength in whom I will trust, my buckler, and he is the horn of my salvation, and he is my high tower. My high tower. He said, Yahweh is. Yah. I know what he says. Yahweh is. That's why he came in the Father's name. Yah. No two different names. One name. For his word. You must understand that, saints. You got a Hebrew name that they say they translated that to a Latin Greek name. And then that's translated from a Latin Greek name to an American name. Then it's translated into a Chinese name and a German name. That's why you got so many different names. It's only one name. Yah. That's his name. He says in verse 3, I will call upon Yahweh, who is worthy to be praised. So shall he save me from my enemies. Why? Because he is my rock. There's nothing like a strong, high tower of a rock. You get up on a rock, it's nothing like that rock. The same rock that was there when they drank from. It's no different. That's the rock that David was talking about. No two or three different rocks, just one rock. Just one rock. He was a rock in the beginning. He's the rock in this age still. He hasn't changed. That's why he said, Timothy, the scriptures are able to make you wise. To understand this thing. Not in the tradition of the Pharisees and the Sadducees, but according to scripture. It's able to make you wise. And that's what the Father wants us to be wise. Look at what Deuteronomy says. Deuteronomy chapter 32 verse 15. Is this not Moses here? Sure it is. Deuteronomy chapter 32, verse 15. We're talking about this rock of our salvation. Was he just began with the Messiah in the New Testament? No. He was there in the beginning. But this is the beginning of salvation here. Look what it says in Deuteronomy chapter 32, verse 15. I want to read this verse. He says, but Jeshurun Israel, that's who that is, has waxed fat. And take, that's what folks do when they wax fat. They get fat in the head, they get heady, they get high-minded. They think they know everything. They think they're spiritual, no one can tell them anything. And they began to kick. He said, thou art waxed fat. Thou hast grown thick. Thou art covered with fatness. Then he forsook El, which made him, and lightly esteemed what? Is that capitalized? The what? The rock of what? Of what? The rock of his salvation. That just didn't come in the new covenant. He's been there, the rock. For Yahweh is the rock. Yahshua is the rock because he is Yahweh. That's why he came in his name, Yah. Lightning steamed the rock. That's capitalized too, isn't it? The rock of my salvation. He says, they sacrifice unto devils. That's what this generation is doing unto devils. They're devilish, they're wicked, they're fleshly. They sacrifice unto them. They love them more than they love the Father. They sacrifice unto devils, not unto El, the mighty one. They sacrifice to gods whom they knew not, to new gods that came newly up, whom your fathers feared not. That's what they did. But he says in verse 18, of the rock, that's capital R too, isn't it? Of the rock begat thee thou. Of the rock that begat thee, thou art unmindful. And thou hast begotten El that formed thee. Now that's what this generation is. Amen. It is not mindful of the rock. It is not mindful of the rock that begat them. Did not Yahshua begat us to lively hope? Is that not what the scriptures say? He has begotten us. We have been begotten in Messiah to lively hope. He has begotten us to be sons of Yahweh, isn't he? And yet this rock was there. He begat them. He begat them. Who is this rock? It's Yahweh. He is the rock, saints. That's why the minds have been so twisted. They've tried to find these three, but they ain't no three. There's just only one. And in him we have seen the manifestation of him in the Son and in his Spirit. And we have the Spirit of Yahweh. We will know his truth. Don't tell me his Spirit is that diverse and that crazy. You got black folks acting one way, white folks, Jews one way, Mexican, you got such diversity. That's not so. That's not the spirit of Yahweh. Spirit of black folks, spirit of white folks, spirit of Jews, and Mexican. That's why they act crazy. Jeshurun, Israel has waxed fat. That's what she has done. And this generation has waxed fat. Sure has. Grown thick. They come with fatness. So when they began to do that, they began to forsake him. they forsake him. And they lightly esteem the rock. So that's why Messiah is lightly esteemed. Yeah, that's what he is. And this trash today, this trash music, this is trash music. He's lightly. This thing what they Jesus love. This is a lightly esteeming. This is vile trash. We're gonna sing in the name of Yahweh. You don't want to sing go. Okay, oh yeah. That is his name. He has a name above all names. His name is everlasting. It's not Jesus. It's not Jesus Christ. In his name is salvation. Yahshua. Not Jesus Christ. Yahshua. He is Yahshua Messiah. Messiah. Anointed one. Yahweh anointed for that purpose. Sure he is. He has not changed. He's the same. You can find him in the New Testament too. And the old as well. For they are one. Now you can say that's a different rod because you're just foolish. Look in the third verse of the same chapter. Third verse. Look at what this says. Deuteronomy 32:3. Because I will publish the name of Yahweh. Ascribe ye greatness unto our Elohim. Now that's what he says. Isn't that what he says? Unto Yahweh. He said, I will publish the name of Yahweh. Ascribe ye greatness unto Elohim. He is what? He is what now? Come on, say it. He is what? The rock. Amen. He is the rock. Now how many rocks are there? One. He is the rock. These crazy doctrines. He's going to save his people's saints. No one else, I'm telling you. He's not saving your wicked grandmama, your wicked mammy, your pappy, grandpappy. He's never going to save his house. That's all. That's it. That's it. He's not going to save your children. He's going to save his people. He's not going to save you. He's going to save his people. That's it. You're not going to save mama or daddy. That's why he tells us to save ourselves. Keep ourselves from this untoward generation. Just keep yourself from it. No, you can't save yourself. Only Yahweh saves. But that's what he's telling you, keep yourself from it. When he says save yourself, he said keep yourself from it. Now, which rock is this? Is there a different rock in this one than the new and the old? There's only one rock, saints. And this rock manifested in the new. That's what he says. He is the rock. His work is perfect. For all his ways are judgment. A L of truth and without iniquity, just and right is he. He is the rock. Abel, one rock. Same rock that followed him. It was Yahweh, Yahshua, salvation. That's what it was, salvation. So he's the rock. That rock is our Yahshua, our salvation of Yah. That's what it is, saints. And words do not say, I'm telling you, as I search out words, and I look at them, they don't describe things. Even English, the English rendition don't describe things in the way that it truly should be expressed. And that's the truth. That's why we have to have the Spirit. For he is a Spirit. That's what he is. And the Spirit dwells in us, then his word is Spirit. And he reveals it by his Spirit. You ask this wicked world, who was that? It's only one rock. That's what he says. It says, because, verse 3 and 32, because I will publish the name of, what it says in that rendition you have? The Lord. Isn't that something? Because I will publish the name of the Lord. No, because I will publish the name of Yahweh. Ascribe ye greatness unto our Elohim. How do you ascribe greatness unto Lord? Tell me, saints. What Lord are you going to ascribe greatness unto? He said, ascribe ye greatness unto unto our Elohim. Huh? Because I will publish the name of Yahweh. To publish something, what do? You speak it, you make it known. You ascribe, you write it. That's what he says. I will publish the name of Yahweh, ascribe ye greatness unto our Elohim. Why? He is a rock. He is a rock. And did all drink of the same spiritual drink. For they drank of the spiritual rock that followed them, and that rock was Messiah. It was Messiah. Yahweh says he is the anointed one. He is the rock. His work is perfect. In all the ways are judgment. A L of truth. And without iniquity. Just and right is he. He is the rock. Yahweh is my rock. No one else. Yahweh is. There's only one. Yahweh is Yah.
sure salvation.
Yahweh is our salvation.
Amen. Amen.
Psalms 18, verse 46. I want to exalt this rock a little bit. Amen. You see, we find him why Timothy was so sure. Psalms 18, verse 46. David said, Yahweh liveth, and blessed be my rock. Let the Elohim of my salvation be exalted. He's the Elohim of our salvation. We're saved because of Yahweh. He saved us. Your truth is that hope in that name. We have hope because Yahweh has saved us. And the power of assurance is in the hope of that manifestation of Messiah. That's why he sent him. Because he is the manifestation of Yahweh. Yahweh in flesh. His name hasn't changed. It's the same. He doesn't have two names, one in English and one in Hebrew. It's the same. Muammar Gaddafi, his name is the same. I don't care where you go, it's Muammar Gaddafi. It doesn't change. Your name, English, you go to Russia, it will still be an English name. It's not changed to a Russian name. No, it's the name of Yahshua, Yahweh. It's not changed. Let me read this from Psalm. No, I want to look, first of all, I want to read in Peter. 1 Peter chapter 3. I want to establish a little something here tonight concerning this hope of our salvation. Yahshua is our sure hope of salvation. 1 Peter. Chapter 1, verse 3. I'm just pressing on tonight. Amen. Glory. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 3. Look at what he says. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 3. He first of all said, blessed be Yahweh. That's what he said. I know what he says in your scriptures. But he said, blessed be Yahweh, the Father of our Master, Yahshua, Messiah. Look at this now. Which, according to his abundant mercy now, Yahweh, have begot us again unto a lively hope. Now that's what the Father has done. He has gotten us again unto a lively hope. A lively hope. You see, once they sacrificed that lamb, it was gone. But now this is a lively hope. He was sacrificed and he was resurrected from the dead. Now the Father and I, look at this, let me read it again. It said, I know we've read this, but we just don't see what Scripture says. Scripture is able to make us wise unto salvation. He said in 1 Peter chapter 1 verse 3, blessed be Yahweh, the Father of Master Yahshua Messiah, which now, according to his abundant mercy, hath begotten us again unto a lively hope. How? By the resurrection of Yahshua Messiah from the dead. A lively hope. Now the Father has given us a lively hope. He's given us a sure hope. And that hope is alive. And that hope ought to live in our hearts. That Messiah was resurrected from the grave. That we have a lively hope. Our salvation is sure. That's what he did. That's why he came in the power of that flesh. To give us a lively hope. Because once that lamb was sacrificed, you had to go once every year to sacrifice. And so now he has given us a lively hope according to his abundant mercies. In Messiah, we have a lively hope. And so we get despondent and all of that. We look to the lively hope because he is alive. Where? He sits on the right hand of the Father. We know our hope is alive. We don't have a dead hope. So lively hope. He says, to an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled and fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you. Then he says, look now, look. He said, who are kept by, this is kept now, by the power of Yahweh through faith unto Yahshua salvation ready to be revealed in the last time. It's kept by the power of Almighty Yahweh through faith, but in the lively hope. It is the power of Yahweh that keeps us through this lively hope. He said, all that is in the Father's hand, no one has plucked them out. And all that thou hast given unto me, I have kept them all. Every last one of them. Why? Because we have a hope that is alive, saints. And it's in Messiah. He is the rock. He is that rock. He is that hope of our salvation. But Yahweh is the one that saved. Why? Because he is the rock. He didn't cast us. He didn't even cast us with angels. He had to do it himself. Amen.
They had made gods, newly gods, and all kinds of gods. And never they were able to save. And so he came in body. That's what he did. He was the rock there and he was the rock here. He was just one still. It was him. He wasn't divided. No, he wasn't, saints. He saves us. He always saves us. And he has given us a hope. He said, through Messiah, you have a hope. And you hope in him. Hope in him. You have hope. You have faith. You have faith in him. You know I'll keep you. You're kept by my power through faith. Through Messiah. That's how we're kept. By Yahweh. These liars say the Holy Ghost. No, it is Yahweh that keeps us. These old apostles, these old different kinds of whole houses, they got all kinds of doctrines. Oh, we pray Holy Ghost. No, he told us how to pray. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom, thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth. He told us how to pray to the Father. To the Father. He told us how to pray. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. He told us how to pray. Amen. Glory to Yahweh. The scripture says in Psalms 119:81. Glory. We're going to just hope a little bit. You hear what the scripture says, all right? No, I'm not taking scriptures out of text. I'm doing a little in the old and the new because there's one. There ain't no two different books. And what you're going to have to do is give your will the time. You can't serve two masters. You can't do it. And he doesn't want to serve two masters. He wants to serve him. This world is wicked. That's what the world, they're down. That's what their jobs here. They're crying for jobs. David said, I hate them. I hate you, Yahweh. I hate them with the perfect. First of all, he said, search me. Call me and see if there be any wicked thing in me. That's what he said to the Father. Then he said, I hate them with the perfect hatred. Hate that. Turn away that despise you, Father. I hate them. Sure he did. That ain't change. Not woman at all. Nah. No, he said, love your enemies. That's what he said to you. They're my enemies. Don't worry about them being your enemies. You just love them. That's what he said. That's what he said, love your enemies. Amen. Amen. Then he said, then the hatred turn back. I hate them with a perfect hatred. Amen. You can try to twist it any way you want. No, I'm not twisting scripture. You just don't read scriptures. Let me read this. Psalms 119:81. Glory. David said, my soul fainteth for salvation, but I hope in thy word. And it was the word that was made flesh. It was the integrity of Yahweh, his word. He spoke his word, just made flesh. I am. He made man out of the dust, didn't he? And it was his word. It was just his word, what he says, that was made flesh. I know that's kind of hard for us to comprehend, but it was just, the word was made flesh. His word. His word is so powerful. He said, I'll tell you what. I'm an Elohim of integrity. And I'm going to save my people. And I'm going to save my people from their sins. That's what he said. And those words were made flesh to save his people from their sins. The word was made flesh. That's what it says, the word was made flesh. And he came down in the power of flesh by his word to save us from sin, saints. And so he said, I will show you that the burden will not be unbearable. My word will become flesh. I will come in the power of flesh because my word is pure and true. And give you hope in the word. Yahshua became that hope for us. Because it is the sure salvation of Yahweh. Yahshua. Yahweh saves his people. Not Jesus Christ. No surname. Just one name. Yahshua. Jeremiah 3:23. Amen. Now what a statement here. Jeremiah 3:23. Truly in vain is salvation hoped for from the hills. In vain is it hoped for now from the hill and from the multitude of the mountain. Truly in Yahweh, our Elohim, is the salvation of Israel. Just in him. Truly our salvation is in Yahweh. It's in him, saints. Our Yahshua is in Yahweh. And no one else. Our salvation, our Yahshua, is in Yahweh. Lamentations 3:26. It is good that a man should both hope and quietly wait for the salvation of Yahweh. That's what we should do, is just hope and quietly wait for the salvation of Yahweh. Quietly wait for this Yahshua to be revealed. That's what we should do, saints. We don't do that. Men are destroying one another because they don't love Yahweh. Mothers and fathers and sons, and they destroy each other with their lies and their emotions and their feelings. It has nothing to do with the mighty power of the Father. Your feelings have nothing to do with that. That's why you got these churches. You got black folks. They get out there and they act like nuts. You can say what you want to. All that sweating and jumping and bombing doesn't produce any kind of spiritual fruit. You got white folks there just as somber as they come, as quiet as a gnat. It doesn't produce anything. That's a righteous way we worship the Father in spirit of the truth of His Word. And we rejoice in His Word because Yahshua is that Word. We rejoice in Him. We can't rejoice in any other way. That's why there's very little rejoicing today. Romans chapter 5 verse 1. Romans 5 verse 1. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with Yahweh now through Yahshua Messiah. Now that's how we have peace. Through Messiah. He says in verse 2, by whom we have access by faith into this grace wherein we stand. And we rejoice. Look at this. We rejoice in hope of the glory of Yahweh. That's what we rejoice in, that hope of that great glory of Yahweh. And Messiah is that hope, saints. He said, for even Messiah pleased not himself. He said, but as it is written, the reproaches of them that reproach thee fell on me. For whatsoever thing, listen, that were written aforetime were written for our learning. Now he's talking to these saints there. What things were written before time, aforetime? Now for us, we know it's the old and the new. But he's talking to these saints. Salvation to them was just as real as it is to us. And this plan of salvation has been revealed unto them like it is to us. And it had to be the right thing for them to know. So it had to be in the Old Testament. For whatsoever things were written aforetime were written for our learning, that we through patience and comfort of what? Scriptures. Comfort of Scriptures might have hope. Comfort of what Scriptures? Well, Moses, the prophets. No, these saints didn't have the New Covenant. They didn't have the New Testament. And even back then, they were taking so long for even one book to be written. They didn't have that. They had the Scriptures. They had the Old Testament, saints. It's what they had. And even in that, even with patience and hope, through patience and hope, comfort of the Scriptures, we might have hope. And that's what our hope is, in comfort of the Scriptures. Patience and comfort of the Scriptures. And we get comfort of the Scriptures. Is not all Scriptures given by the inspiration of Yahweh? All Scriptures. So it's through Scriptures we have patience and comfort of Scriptures. Old and new. Not just the new. Old and new. The same. Old and new. Good to have a witness. Two witnesses there. Glory. 1 Corinthians chapter 15. Now this is a good verse here. I like this. You all know it, but I'm going to read it. If in this life only we have hope in Messiah, we are all men most miserable. That's why men are most miserable today. That's why they despise Yahshua, the name. That's why they will curse it. That's why they will say anything, because they speak evil of things that they know not of. Best just to be quiet, saints. Study to be quiet and work with your own hands. It's best you do that. Glory, 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 glory. Hebrews chapter 6, verse 17 through 19. We are the heirs of Yahweh. Look what he says in Hebrews 6, 17. Wherein Yahweh willing more abundantly to show unto the heirs of promise the immutability of his counsel, confirm it by an oath. That by two immutable things in which it was impossible for Yahweh to lie, we might have a strong consolation who have fled for refuge to lay hold upon the hope set before us. Listen to this now. Which hope we have as an anchor of our soul, both sure, steadfast, and which entereth into that within the veil. It is the Messiah. We have an anchor. He's an anchor for our souls, saints. It is that hope that gives us anchor that Yahweh. Why? Because we know that He raised Him from the dead. He resurrected Him from the dead. And that is the hope. That's why our souls are anchored in that hope of salvation. For Yahweh must save us. Salvation belongeth only to Him. And in Him, only in Him can we be saved. Yeshua is the Father. Is one, not all. Is one. Ain't no two. Just one. Amen. Just one. One faith. One Elohim. One baptism. This doctrine that twisted the minds of people. Trinity and all that is nothing but this Catholicism. This footprint of Catholicism. It's all there, saints. That's why they got all kinds of gods. Every kind of god you can think of they pray to. New god. Saints this, praying to this thing and that. That should be. There's only one. You pray, our Father. We have hope and faith in Messiah that He taught us how to pray in that hope, our Father, which art in heaven. We know that only Yah is Yahshua. Only Yah saves. Only Yahweh can save us, saints. Even it's in Scripture, only Yahweh, only God can save. It's there. Glory. Glory. I'm not going to read all this. Let me read this. The scripture says in Acts 26, verse 4. Acts 26, verse 4. Glory to the Lamb. You know that what it says in Acts 26. Hold up. What it says in Romans 10:13. Somebody find that for me quickly. I know what it says, but I want to. Romans 10:13. Read it. Someone had. Yeah, what Lord you call on? It should be whosoever you call upon the name of Yahweh should be saved. Let me read this in Acts 26, verse 4. This is Paul now. Listen to this. This is beautiful. Look at this word of faith here. Acts 26, verse 4 through 11. I want to read. Paul said, my manner of life from my youth, which was at first among my own nation at Jerusalem, know all the Jews, which knew me from the beginning. Now, they knew him. They knew what man he was. If they would testify that after the most straitest sect of our religion, I lived a Pharisee. He said, now look, he said, now, and now I stand, I am judged for the hope. Listen now, what hope? Now, listen to this, say. He said, now I stand and been judged for the hope of promise made of Yahweh unto our fathers, that Yahshua, this salvation, this hope would come unto us. He said, the hope that Yahweh made to our fathers. He says, unto which promise our 12 tribes instantly serving Yahweh day and night hope to come, for which hope's sake, King Agrippa, I am accused of the Jews. Why should it be, though, a thing incredible unto you that Yahweh should raise the dead? I verily, though with myself that I ought to do many things contrary to the name of Yahshua of Nazareth, he did, which things I also did in Jerusalem. And many other saints I did shut up in prison, having received authority from the chief priests. And when they were put to death, I gave my voice against them. They were put to death. They weren't preaching in no Jesus' name. You say what you want to. You're preaching in the name of Yahweh. That's why he put them to death. He said in verse 11, and I punished them off in every synagogue. Look what he said. Now, I compel. Now, he was a bad boy, if I must use that expression. When you compel somebody, you make them. He said, I compel them to blaspheme. And being exceedingly mad against them, I persecuted them even unto strange cities. He said, now he was a Pharisee of Pharisees. They knew the name. They knew the law. They knew the book of Moses and the prophets. They knew that. And for man to be saying that, for man to call upon that name, Yahweh, Yahshua, it was only once a year that the priests were allowed to use the name. Not that Yahweh said they couldn't. It was their traditions. Paul said he was of the strictest set, the straightest. Nobody liked him. He persecuted the saints, killed them. When he heard them talking about that name, it's strange to him. Believe me, if they had heard him talk about the name of Jesus, he wouldn't have persecuted them. But it was that name, Yahweh. That's why he persecuted them. That's why men persecute today too. I will be persecuted for that name. I ain't going to change it. You can go to your granddaddy, your mom and all. I'm not going to change it. What's right? I want to close here. Romans chapter 8. Verse 24. I'm not going to read it all. But it says this. Paul says, for we are saved by hope. But hope that is seen is not hope. What a man seeth, why doth he yet hope? But if we hope for what we see not, then we do with patience wait for it. Romans 15:13. Hope that is seen is no hope. Look what it says in Romans 15. It says, now Yahweh of hope fill you with joy and peace in believing, that he may abound in hope through the power of the Holy Ghost. Now the Yahweh of heaven fill us with hope. Now that's what we need tonight. We need that hope in Messiah, because he is our hope. It is Yahweh, the Word became flesh, to give us a hope that we can be sure. And it's not a dead hope, but it's a lively hope that we have. And that we're sure of our salvation. That we're sure because in Yahshua are we saved. Because it is Yahweh that's saving. Only Yahweh. Salvation belongs unto him. There's no other God he allowed to save Israel. He saved them out of all their troubles and their distress. He did. For what purpose? That glory may be written unto his name. He has a great name. And that's why he did not allow his son to come in the name of Jesus or Buddha. He came in Yahshua. That's what he came in. He and the Father, one, the name is the same. He came in his Father's name. He didn't come in no other name. He was not born. We don't speak Hebrew. I know we don't. We don't speak English well. I know. But that doesn't take from his name. He did not have an English name. Josephus is not an English name. It's a Hebrew name. And yet his name retains its integrity. Josephus. Why not Messiah? Even the word Paul gives you the same name as Saul. Saul, that's how you would say it. It would not be Paul, it would be Saul. Saul, S-H-A-U-L, Saul, Paul. But he gives you the same rendition. He has the Messiah's name. He has a name. And he came in the Father's name. And he and the Father, the name is one. They are two different names because it is just one. And because of that, that's why it's been so distorted in the mind of folks. So you folks can't even explain that. Most preachers can't. They just go by what tradition has taught them, and so they just hold on to that, and they're good at explaining that. May Yahweh help us. Yahweh says, he saved you from your sins. He is the rock of our salvation. He's always been that rock. He is. He is. And that's why Yahshua came to give glory unto the Father's name. Father, glorify thy name. He said, I have glorified and I will glorify it again. Now he's going to glorify it again, too. One more time. He's coming. Let's be sure your heart, saints. We better hold on to him because he is coming.